And now, I'd like to take you on a short journey with 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Page 1347. How's that?
There you go! With your 352 days of
the year. I don't know what... Yeah, but John told me it's because the six is gone, and that's the flesh. Humanity.
Oh.
So it's kind of cool. I don't know what he really means by that, but it sure wasn't. Anyway, I'm not going to argue or fight. I'm just going to wait. Everything is made clear in due season. Amen? Chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, how did he know he was an apostle? He was ordained by the Father to go out. His son Jesus sent him out. Go. Amen. To God's elect. Who's he talking to?
Us.
Yeah, us. Strangers in the world. Strangers in the world. Scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Chicopee, Springfield, Holyoke, etc. Palmer and Munson. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. Woohoo! Look at your neighbor. Say, he knew you before you landed in the earth. For the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Who tries to sanctify me? Who tries?
Me.
Ah.
I try.
How many times have you failed to clean yourself up?
Every time.
But see, the sanctifying work is done by the Holy Ghost. So if you can get a clue and get started with believing who's going to clean you up, what's going to happen? You can say, well, Holy Ghost, have a party. Clean me up. You know why? Because you might think a corner is real dirty, and all of a sudden he says, that was part of your training. Why did he choose King David? Because he was compassionate to the broken. Why did he choose King David to be called his son? Yeah, but the Father knew the heart of David. And he said, it's okay, Jesus, you can be his spiritual son. Cool. Amen. Through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ. Notice it's for obedience. Who tries to give you disobedience? The enemy and yourself. Me, myself, and I, those three incredible gods that you and I carry, they're pretty powerful. Did you ever notice how powerful those three gods are?
Yes.
Don't disturb me today. I'm having a bad day. Well, come on, man. Think about it. If I'm having a bad day and somebody pushes a little bit too hard,
amen,
what happens? Look at one of your neighbors. Just choose them eyeball to eyeball. Say, you're having a bad day?
Yeah,
Holy Ghost is going to clean you up.
Not me.
Not me.
I'm qualified.
All right. All right. And he's going to do it by the sprinkling by his blood. Why doesn't he dump a couple of quarts? Because a sprinkling is enough. Then he says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. That was part of the word this morning. Amen?
Amen.
And provision. Grace and peace, not according to your fears. Because I heard this morning, as I was driving in, how many of us are walking around with an attitude? And that attitude is, oh my God, if they only understood me. Woo! And it would be so much easier if everybody just kind of cooled it and make my life worthwhile. None of you have ever had those kind of problems? Oh. Well, just remembering, who's cleaning up? The sanctifying work is done by the Holy Spirit. So it leaves you and the neighbor off the hook. Verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he is giving us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish or spoil, fade, and kept in heaven for you. Why is it kept in heaven? Because if it was keeping in the earth, you'd probably manipulate it.
No.
Yeah. You'd cash in a few bonds too early. And it was just about when they were going to have to raise and be multiplied. And you would just pull them out because you've got a little bit of fear. So it's kept in heaven for you. Who's in charge of heaven?
Jesus.
Yeah. And is heaven going to come down to the earth?
Yes.
It's already started.
Yes.
I can just believe for a new day in Christ, in the United States of America, and in the world. I was impressed by the culture of death advertising its wares on the news today, especially this morning, and in yesterday, advertising. And it was worldwide. London, Cape Town. I mean, you know, when you think that our president is going to have an effect a continent away, that's pretty incredible. He's a powerful man. And the marches against whatever they're afraid of. So, again, the inheritance can never perish or spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed. What salvation is he talking about? Is it the salvation of your spirit or your soul or your body?
All three.
All three. Yes. All right. All three. But then think about the next part. Just after the revealed, it says, in the last time. So, that means that for generations to come, after this letter was written, there would be many, many generations that would actually not be able to see what this salvation would be. This is the salvation of your soul, because he describes it when you go down to verse 9. So skip down to verse 9. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions. Mm-hmm. And I heard this years ago when I first got baptized in the Holy Ghost. The Lord said to me, when two are in agreement, there's going to be an explosion. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. When two are, which two? I'm nosy, you know, I really am. Wanted to know, who are those two? And he says, when your soul and your spirit are in full harmony, there's going to be an explosion in your flesh. I said, oh, that's cool. Oh, but he says, it's going to raise hell. Think about it. It's going to be the most awesome experience in the natural that you and I will become eternal beings like Jesus was on that mountain at that time. And hell is going to then activate to kill and destroy you. Because you know why? They can't accept that there's a God in heaven who wants to resurrect Adam's creation to the second level, which is the new Adam. They want to go by the old Adam only, which is selfish, selfish motivation. I want what I want when I want it, or else you're not acceptable in my life. In fact, I want everybody that doesn't agree with me dead. I know I'm preaching. I know that. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is God's intention is to restore what Adam lost. What he lost is what God is trying to put you and me back together. And it's not all about getting me satisfied about what I want or what I'd like to get or I'd like to be a millionaire. Because you know what? I had a guy at the funeral said to me, I want to win the lottery. And I didn't believe what came out of my mouth. I said, you haven't learned to hand out what you've got with what you've got, so he couldn't trust you with a million, even if you had it. And he looked at me, and I said, then I'm not off, am I? And he kind of pulled back, because he's a heavy set man, pulled back. I said, I'm going to let you think about that one. Because you want to win a million. But I really wanted to say, because I didn't say it, I was a good boy. You want to spend it on yourself. And what you think is a great idea. You would not be giving out to those in need. Because you're not doing it now. I didn't say those words. I don't know the man from Adam. I don't know him from Satan either. But I had that knowing inside my heart. He has no knowledge of God. Yet he's advertising he wants to be a millionaire. And so, if God can't trust you with what you got in your pocket now,
he's not going to give you any
more. Why should he give you more?
Amen.
Oh, I'm being nasty now. Just behave, Kim. Okay? That would be a new trait. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, that now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. How many of you qualify? Put your hand up. Thank you. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor to me, myself, and I. Is that a misprint?
We've got that new version.
It's the Kimber version. The old Kim. The new creation says, when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Amen.
Now why would he be revealing himself to us? What's his goal about revealing himself to us?
To regain fellowship. Become like that.
Yes. And it's got to be a personal experience. It can't be something you tasted from the pulpit. Or church, or a phone call. None of those are bad, but you know what? You need to taste it for yourself. You really do. Verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. The goal of your faith is the salvation of your soul. Seeing your soul, your mind, will, and emotions in line with the spirit within you, which is Christ. When I received that gift of a deposit from the Lord, I was 37 years old. And you know something? There was one aspect of me that had faith to believe for the next level. And it wasn't something I put in there. It's something that I chose to believe for. And many saints get to that place where they get filled with the Holy Ghost. They get the new language. And they said, I got it all! God's word says it's a deposit. How many of you have ever made a deposit on a car or a purchase of some kind? Did you get the item right away without the bill?
No.
How many of you had to make payments in the past? Thank you. When do you get a release that it's paid in full?
When it's stamped.
When you have finished the job Okay? And the Holy Ghost is looking at you and me today and saying, you know, you've got a deposit. I can tell you I have more of him now than I had when I was 37. I do. I have a lot more, and I know it. I know it when my mouth speaks things I don't understand, that I give out words that I can't know or claim that they are mine, because they're not. And that was something so foreign to me when I first started working for a different group. And I can remember being laid out on the ground like Madam this morning. The Lord told me you needed a rest. And he knew he is the only one that can renew your strength to the degree that you need. But I remember laying down, not by choice, but by his presence in the cathedral at Forest Park. All marble floor. And when I say a cathedral, I forgot the name of it.
Trinity Methodist Church.
That's where I had gone with my wife and my wife's girlfriend, who's gone to be with the Lord. And Pastor Gino was ministering, and he anointed me with oil, and I went down like a brick, down on the ground on that marble floor. And I can still see him standing there, and he had a white robe on with a colored
stole.
Yes, I'm trying to think of the word. And he's walking around me, and he's pushing people away, because there was quite a few that they were catchers. You know, they were anointed of God to catch. And he's walking around me, and he's saying, God's having a party right now. Don't touch him. God's having a party right now. Don't touch him. And the more he went around, the more I felt the presence of God. And then he started to prophesy. And that's another subject. We're not going to go there. What I am saying to you is the Holy Ghost was starting his sanctifying work. The Holy Ghost was sanctifying me for his own purpose, his own plan. Not Kim's plan. I had all kinds of desires. I had been baptized in the Holy Ghost for quite a while at that point. And God was saying, it's okay. You got your deposit. Today you're getting another increment. Another deposit. An additional deposit. Are you ready? Then would you do me a favor? Would you close your Bibles? Thank you, Jesus.